markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are treading water as we await November jobs. Let's head right over to the First Room Breaking News Desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good Friday morning, Bill.
And good morning, Nathan. That's right. Modest losses in the U.S. futures right now. Dow futures down 44 points. S&P's dropped 4 and NASDAQ futures decline by 19. The U.S. 10-year yield up 3.51%. Gold is down 4. Oil is little change. And Bitcoin is trading higher by 0.5%. Japan fell 1.6% overnight, while European markets are little changed this morning. And back in the U.S., on the economic front, you mentioned those job reports at 8:30. After the bell last night, Ulta Beauty Q3 beat estimates. And in other news, UBS cut its iPhone forecast by 16 million units on COVID and demand issues. Wrapping things up, Echo Lab was cut to equal weight at Barclays. DoorDash was cut to second perform at RBC on slower order growth. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Nathan.
Okay, Bill, thanks. To get live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A, go. That's the Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. It is a victory for the Justice Department's criminal investigation into Donald Trump's handling of White House documents. A federal appeals court ruled a judge was wrong by appointing a special master to review material seized from the former president's Mar-a-Lago home. Congress has avoided what President Biden says could have been a Christmas catastrophe. The Senate voted to pass a bill to avert a looming rail strike. NFL, the Bills beat the Patriots 24-10. NHL, both the Devils and Capitals lost in OT. At the World Cup, 4 games today, including Cameroon against Brazil. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We're coming up to 6:49 on Wall Street. Let's turn to news in science and technology now. The Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked a top 100 national university by U.S. News and World Report, and the number one public university in New Jersey by Forbes. What will you make at NJIT? Learn more at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Tesla handed over the first of its electric semi-trucks in Nevada. It's a milestone for the automaker more than 5 years after it unveiled the vehicle. Electrifying big commercial vehicles is crucial to transitioning to more sustainable transportation. Tesla estimates while combination trucks are just 1% of the U.S. vehicle fleet, they account for 20% of vehicle emissions. Top U.S. military leaders are warning China's space technology is advancing, quote, very, very quickly. The U.S. Space Force says Australia will be a critical asset for growing strategic competition with China, citing its geographical position and advanced research capabilities. And global goods trade will shrink next year, according to Oxford Economics, signaling a concerning forecast for Asia's export-dependent economies. The report cites China's economic slowdown, an energy price shock in Europe, rising interest rates, and protectionism as factors behind the trade outlook. That's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Nathan. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it is 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. and some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden signaling that Democrats are moving on from Iowa. The president also says he's open to talks with Vladimir Putin about ending the war in Ukraine. Donald Trump lost another court case, this one that special master review, and all eyes on the Senate runoff in Georgia. We welcome Bloomberg Washington correspondent Joe Matthew, host of Sound On. He joins us now. Joe, thanks so much for taking the time this morning. Right. President Biden proposing some sweeping changes to the Democratic nominating calendar. What's the strategy here?
Yeah, this is something. The strategy is to give more people of color a voice in the early nominating process, and this is not a new idea. We've been hearing challenges to the lineup every 4 years for some time now because Iowa and New Hampshire are tiny states that are more than 90% white. And President Biden says the calendar is structured in a way that does not give more diverse people a chance to weigh in on candidates early enough to make a difference. Obviously, they get a chance here, but once you get through Iowa and New Hampshire, the field has been winnowed down so much. Democrats were also upset about long delays. You might remember in 2020 in tabulating results in Iowa. So Iowa's already at a deficit, and it's It's got a fully Republican congressional delegation now, and Joe Biden doesn't think the party should be using caucuses at all. So he wants to make South Carolina the first in the nation primary state. Imagine this, followed by New Hampshire, then Nevada, then Georgia and Michigan. That's what it would look like. And by the way, those are all the states that favored Joe Biden in 2020. It's still got to be ratified by the DNC's Rules and Bylaws Committee, which meets today. And then it would have to be approved by the full DNC in February. It may well pass. But, you know, Amy, we've seen this movie before, and not necessarily coming from the president like this. But I have to remind you, New Hampshire specifically has a state law that says they will hold the nation's first primary no matter what. So schedule South Carolina whenever you want. New Hampshire will put its primary a week earlier and simply schedule its own primary. So this is not quite as clear as it might seem in the headline.
Okay, we're going to keep watching that with you. Meanwhile, the president also says he will talk with Vladimir Putin about the war in Ukraine, but only if the Russian leader is serious about ending his invasion of Ukraine. And that hasn't happened yet.
Well, that's for sure. And to be clear, he was clarifying remarks. This came from a joint news conference, the bilateral news conference yesterday with Emmanuel Macron in the East Room of the White House. And the president first said, when he was asked if he planned to meet with Putin, he said, no, I have no plans. And he said, well, let me just clarify. He thought for a second. He said, I will meet with him when he's ready to come to the negotiating table. We've heard this line before. He said, you know, Putin can leave Ukraine whenever he wants, but none of this is happening right now. He said, you know, he'll speak with him if there is an interest in him deciding that he's looking for a way to end the war. We don't see any effort, certainly ahead of winter, of Vladimir Putin to be looking for an off-ramp. He has been just sending missile after missile into Ukraine, targeting civilian infrastructure. There were reports today that say he's preparing for another huge barrage this weekend.
Now, he had also said that he wouldn't talk with Putin unless Ukraine's leaders were involved in that discussion. So I wondered if that was some sort of pivot, if something had changed, or if he was just clarifying.
No, I think it's more clarifying. And Emmanuel Macron said the same thing as well. You know, this has been coming from the White House since the very beginning. They won't do anything without Ukraine. Ukraine needs to make its own decisions here. We're playing a supporting role in all of this. But there are concerns about what's going to happen, for instance, to spending, to funding the war in Ukraine as we head into the new year with a new Republican majority in the House. Kevin McCarthy, likely to be the next speaker, says no more blank checks. And you're hearing from a number of members of the Republican Party, including Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz, some others who say they will not approve one more dollar for Ukraine.
Right.
So what happens in the next couple of weeks in this lame duck session, we're hearing something in the area of $37 billion. That'll be the next tranche. Then we'll see what happens after that. By the way, Ukraine is asking for more than weapons. They need generators. Now, Amy, there are 6 million people in Ukraine who have no electricity.
And it's winter.
You said it.
All right. The Justice Department's investigation into Donald Trump, meanwhile, the handling of the White House documents, that got a boost. The courts now say that the Trump team isn't entitled to a special master, but there's been a special master working on this. So now what happens?
Well, I guess he's going to put his pencils down. But this is a pretty significant development here in the Justice Department's investigation. It will allow them to now start incorporating all the rest of those documents that may or may not have been personal versus top secret in their investigation, and it could clear the way here for an indictment basically at any time if the DOJ decides to do that. That's a big if at the moment. Do you indict a former president? Do you indict someone who's actively running for reelection as president? These are the questions that Attorney General Merrick Garland needs to deal with here. But, you know, it was never quite known how far this was going to go. It was seen as a delay tactic. The appeals court here was cut and dry in their writing. All three judges talking about this just being an extraordinary circumstance, and DOJ was correct in seeking a search warrant with probable cause and no need for a special master. By the way, this came from the special counsel that was recently added to this case, overseeing the Mar-a-Lago documents case, as well as the case to overturn the election and what happened on January 6th. So it's a very complex situation right now, and you've got tandem investigations happening in Fulton County, Georgia, the Southern District of New York. You could argue the walls are closing in a bit at Mar-a-Lago.
And we only have about a minute here, Joe, but there's a big runoff for the Senate in Georgia, early voting underway, and you are going to be there.
Yeah, we're going to head down this weekend to be covering this for Bloomberg News. We'll have reports for you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday here on Bloomberg Radio. This is it. Barack Obama was in town last night stumping for Raphael Warnock. It is time once again and again to make final arguments here. This is like the fourth time Raphael Warnock has done this, remembering he won in a runoff just a couple of years ago. Herschel Walker, the Republican, also doing his best to keep this in an incredibly close race. Amy, the research we've seen, there hasn't been a lot of polling, have these two either within a point or within the margin of error. Despite all of the talk and the scandals and the debates, we're feeling much like we were going into this runoff as we did going into the midterms. It's anyone's race in this final weekend of campaigning.
In 20 seconds, what can you tell me about early voting?
Early voting sets a record, quite remarkable. And so, you know, this could skew in favor of Raphael Warnock if we follow historic trends that tend to favor Democrats in early voting. That's going to put the burden on Republicans to turn out on Tuesday. And that's where we're going to begin our coverage next week.
All right. Thank you, Joe. We'll be listening. Bloomberg Washington correspondent Joe Matthew, host of Sound On with Joe Matthew. You can hear weekday afternoons at 5 here on Bloomberg Radio. You can read more about all of these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder for you, follow all of the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Bloomberg Surveillance with John Keane, Lisa Abramowitz, and Jonathan Farrow coming up next, along with Nathan Hayes. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
I'm Nathan Hager. Stocks are reflecting a cautious mood around the world, holding steady after recent sharp gains as traders await the latest monthly U.S. jobs report for clues on the Fed's next policy steps. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg, and futures are starting to move a bit lower now on Wall Street, with S&P futures down 4 points, Dow futures down 48, and NASDAQ futures down 24 points. 10-year Treasuries down 1/32nd, yield 3.50%. NYMEX crude's down 0.1% or 10 cents, $81.14 a barrel. COMEX gold is down $1.20 at 18.14 even an ounce. The euro 1.0536 against the dollar. The yen is at 133.89. This red headline just crossed the Bloomberg terminal. The Chinese Grand Prix in Formula One racing will not take place next year due to the, quote, ongoing difficulties stemming from the COVID-19 situation. That from a tweet from Formula One. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. And now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Nathan, thank you very much. A federal appeals court dismissed Donald Trump's lawsuit against the Justice Department over documents seized at his Mar-a-Lago resort in August. The panel ruled a Florida judge's order appointing a special master to review the materials was wrong. The Supreme Court denied President Biden's request to overturn a lower court's ruling blocking his student loan forgiveness program. They did agree to take up the legality of the plan. NFL, the Bills beat the Patriots 24-10. NHL, both the Devils and Capitals lost in overtime at the World Cup. 4 games today, including Cameroon against Brazil. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It is 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. We now want to bring you more of our exclusive with Credit Suisse Chairman Axel Lehman, who sat down this morning with Bloomberg. Lehman says cash outflows have stopped, and he also discussed the bank's stock price and company operations. He spoke with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix in London.
How often do you look at the share price? Because it's just been going down and down and down, and I imagine that's very difficult on a daily basis to explain to staff.
Sure, of course you look at it from time to time, but you know, actually we are where we are. Share price was coming down for quite a while, actually for many, many years. Mm-hmm. We are very much under pressure. When you do a capital increase of $4 billion and your market cap is $10-11 billion, okay, you know that the share price will go to from 4 to 3, maybe even lower, and we are where we are.
But there's a rights offer, and actually what happens if the share price goes below that?
No, the rights offer is fully underwritten,
okay,
and we are well underway. You know, we have 2 tranches. The first tranche was with the direct investors, okay, so $1.8 billion. That is already done and on our accounts. The second one is ongoing, $2.2 billion, and will conclude next Thursday.
Okay, what happens, though? Have you had conversations with investors that bought at a higher price? And what are the, how unpleasant are those conversations with them?
Well, look, of course, that's never easy. We have quite a lot of roughly some 10 key investors. They are long-time investors. They are not pleased where the share price is, of course. But, you know, they welcome our plan to transform the company. They have a high belief in the credibility of the new, of the management team. So they are standing by. But, you know, they are somewhat impatient. They want to see the change. They want to see us executing. And exactly that's what we are doing.
So what kind of conversations are you having with them? Are you confident, first of all, that the share price after the rights offer will go up?
Look, we are at 0.2 or so price to book. All our peer companies in our sector are roughly hovering around book, slightly below, slightly above. There's no reason that we cannot, you know, catch up and go back to that level. Obviously, I cannot predict when that is happening, but the upside potential is huge.
So what I'm trying to understand, what a lot of people try to understand, is that every day there's bad news on Credit Suisse, and you see staff leaving, you see investors unpleased. Like, how do you recapture that narrative?
Look, we had beginning of the month, we had that social media storm that had a huge impact on, interestingly, not on the institutional side. You know, professional investors understood there was a lot of rumor spelling, but on the retail and wealth management side. So we reached out. We reached out to 8,000 wealth management clients. They are covering roughly 80% of the assets under management. We reached out to more than 24,000 clients on our core market. So we intensified the dialogue. Just to make sure they understand where we are and just to make sure we maintain the contact.
But what was the feedback like? So if I'm a new client, if I'm an old client, why would I put $100 million with all of the uncertainty surrounding Credit Suisse?
No, the feedback is quite astonishing. The clients still like us. They continue to do business with us. So we had basically zero, very few clients really leaving. They might have, you know, in light of those rumors, withdraw, you know, some money from us. But I'm confident I have a lot personal discussions with clients. I know from regional management, that money, you know, when we do well, will come back at least to a significant part.
When do you think the outflows will stop?
The outflows basically have stopped. What we saw is 2-3 weeks in October, boom, and since then flattening out, they have stopped. It's gradually coming back, in particular in Switzerland.
I mean, a number of analysts are also talking about, you know, what could happen to Credit Suisse. So are you evaluating other strategic options given the share price dilution and the market reaction to your announcement?
Look, when you step back, we do a capital increase now. In 4 working days, we will have 4 billion with a CET1 ratio of 14% or close to 14%. That is top quartile in the industry. So it's a really strong balance sheet to carry through that transformation we go. So we execute our plan.
But why do shareholders not believe you? Why does the share price keep on falling?
No, I think the shareholders, core shareholders, they believe us. And they will exercise also their rights. The share price is falling. Yeah, of course, you know, the rights issues are traded. The market tries to drive down the price, which is logic, but it's fully underwritten, will be done. So the volatility on the share price will continue until we are through that capital increase. Then I think it will somewhat, you know, stabilize and probably, you know, we just move on from there.
So, Chairman, no plan B. Is there a plan B? If somebody came today and said, look, I offer you to merge 10 Swiss francs.
As chairman, you need always to consider all when somebody comes and would do that. Of course, you need to take a look. But, you know, I tell you, when you are where we are, with, you know, the historically low on the share price, with a great management team, with a plan that is convincing the market, and the market, you know, our shareholders believe it, it takes time to execute. Yeah. You know, we can capture that value, mm-hmm. and we will do so.
Credit Suisse Chairman Axel Lehman speaking with Bloomberg's Francine Lacroix. Shares of Credit Suisse trading 6.3% higher. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. For 50 years, JCF's donor-advised funds have been helping families create charitable legacies. Start now and open a JCF fund before year-end. Visit jcfny.org.
Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, December 2nd, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Investors await the November jobs report and consider what it means for the Fed.
The chairman of Credit Suisse says the bleeding at the Swiss bank has stopped.
Twitter suspends Kanye West once again.
And the Justice Department gets a win in the Trump White House document probe.
A shakeup of retirements at the NYPD. Plus, the Supreme Court will hear President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan, but keeps it on hold. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. An AFC East battle in New England. Buffalo beat the Patriots. The Devils lost in overtime. Seton Hall lost at Kansas.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good Friday morning. I'm Amy Morris.
I'm Nathan Hager. Futures are quiet this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes during the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are little changed. Dow futures down 18 points. NASDAQ futures down 10. 10-year treasuries down 2/32. The yield 3.51%. Yield on the 2-year 4.18%. Amy.
Nathan, let's begin with the November jobs report. We get the latest figures at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Traders are looking to the data for clues on future interest rate hikes. Jennifer Lee, senior economist with BMO Capital Markets, thinks we'll see some loosening in the labor market.
What we want to see is continued moderation in the numbers. And this is the era which, you know, I'm trying to wrap my head around, is that, you know, good is bad and bad is good. And, you know, normally we would like to see, most of us would like to see good economic data and, you know, positive news in the economy. But that, of course, would mean higher for longer.
BMO's Jennifer Lee does not believe the jobs data will change the Fed's upcoming hike in December. Stick with us all morning for full coverage of the November jobs report, and we'll break down the numbers with U.S. Labor Secretary Marty Walsh live at 9:45 a.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and television.
Well, stocks in the U.S., Europe, and Asia are treading water ahead of the jobs report, Amy. S&P futures are holding on to November's gains, and Morgan Stanley Chief U.S. Equity Strategist Mike Wilson thinks this bear market rally could be sustained.
We have more confidence that this rally will continue into December. We think rates will go lower. Powell's commentary is right in line with what we've been saying, which is that they're going to pause probably in January, and the market's getting in front of that, and this is a classic Fed pause stock market rally.
Morgan Stanley's Mike Wilson says traders can play the run-up in December, but he advises the average investor to buy bonds.
And taking a look at oil this morning, Nathan, crude's headed for its biggest weekly gain in almost 2 months. There appear to be several catalysts. Looser COVID curbs in China, calls from the White House to halt crude sales from strategic reserves, and an OPEC decision to cut supply by the most since 2020. Checking prices now, NYMEX crude mostly unchanged, down 6 cents, trading at $81.16 per barrel. Brent crude down 1 penny, trading at $86.87 per barrel.
Okay, Amy, let's turn to the banking sector now, where Credit Suisse is in focus. The chairman, Axel Lehman, spoke exclusively with Bloomberg News this morning. He says the bank has mostly stemmed the huge outflow of client assets that sent shares to a record low.
The outflows basically have stopped. What we saw is 2-3 weeks in October, boom. And since then, flattening out, they have stopped. It's gradually coming back, in particular in Switzerland.
Now, shares of Credit Suisse appear to be getting a boost from our interview with Chairman Axel Lehman. Right now, they're up about 5.75% in Zurich. Stick with us for more of that exclusive conversation with Bloomberg's Francine Lacqua coming up shortly on Bloomberg Daybreak.
And another sign of a slowing economy comes from Goldman Sachs. Traders at the investment bank could see their year-end bonuses cut. Sources say executives in the firm's global markets division were warned this week that their compensation pool would be slashed. Goldman's annual trading revenue is on track to top $25 billion. That would be its biggest revenue haul in more than a decade.
Let's turn to Twitter now, Amy. The artist formerly known as Kanye West is once again in trouble after another offensive post on the platform. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with the details. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nathan and Amy. Elon Musk is telling Ye to go away, suspending the rapper's account for his latest anti-Semitic act. West tweeted an image combining the Star of David with a swastika. Musk responding he did his best with West, but Ye once again broke the platform's rule against incitement to violence. Ye's post wasn't his first Nazi reference of the day. In a bizarre interview with conspiracy theorist Alex Jones, Ye, wearing a full face mask with a Bible by his side, lavished praise on Adolf Hitler as an innovator, while ignoring his massacre of 6 million Jews. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Steve. Let's turn to politics now, where Donald Trump is back in the news. The former president has lost another court battle. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports the 11th Circuit has ruled Trump has no right to a special master.
The ruling gives a major boost to prosecutors who can now go ahead with their investigation and prosecution if it comes to that. The DOJ is looking at the documents taken from Mar-a-Lago to see whether they had the highest level of secrecy or whether Mr. Trump engaged in obstruction of justice. The court ruled the law is clear. It cannot allow any subject of a search warrant to block the government investigation after the execution of the warrant. Trump can ask for a hearing of the full court and, of course, can petition the Supreme Court to intervene. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. Turning to the latest on China now, the Communist Party's top decision-making body is set to convene this month. Economists expect leaders will signal a more pragmatic approach to COVID controls and put more focus on boosting economic growth. They say Beijing desperately needs more monetary and fiscal stimulus to support a recovery into next year.
Let's talk corporate news now, turning our focus to the auto industry. General Motors CEO Mary Barra joined Bloomberg Business Week yesterday for an exclusive interview looking ahead to GM's future product portfolio and outlook for autos in the current economy.
We'll have the capacity to be able to sell 1 million units in North America and, frankly, in China by 2025. We're going to have the products across the market that are going to allow us to achieve that metric.
GM CEO Mary Barra made the comments on Bloomberg Business Week, heard weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio and seen live on YouTube and Bloomberg Quick Take. Catch the full interview with Mary Barra on Bloomberg.com.
And a couple notes on the Fed this morning. Amy, Fed Vice Chair for Supervision Michael Barr says the central bank could slow the pace of interest rate increases soon. At the same time, he says hikes will not stop anytime soon. And the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago has appointed Austin Goolsbee as its next president. He'll replace the retiring Charles Evans. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Nathan. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr with more on what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Amy. The Supreme Court says the Biden administration program to cancel student loans will remain blocked for now, but the justices have agreed to take up the case in late winter. The court's decision to hear arguments relatively quickly means it is likely to determine whether the widespread loan cancellations are legal by late June. More than 26 million people have already applied for the relief. Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock and Republican challenger Herschel Walker are making their final pitch to voters in Georgia ahead of Tuesday's runoff election. Walker, at his rally, says he is the leader Georgia needs.
You deserve a senator who actually lives in Georgia.
Meanwhile, Warnock campaigned in Atlanta.
Georgia, I need you to do it one more time.
And along with Warnock, former President Barack Obama.
He's been protecting a woman's right to determine her own destiny.
Tuesday's election will decide whether Democrats increase their seats in the U.S. Senate by 1 to 51. An on-duty Yonkers police officer was killed in a traffic accident. It happened yesterday afternoon near the Sprainbrook Parkway overpass. Police say a BMW driver traveling the opposite direction lost control, crossed over, and slammed into the unmarked police vehicle and a bus. New York City's transit chief and three other top police officials announced their retirements. It creates turnover in the top ranks of the department as Mayor Eric Adams tries to focus the department on subway crime and removing people with mental health issues from city streets. Among those retiring is transit head Jason Wilcox. The Biden administration's first state dinner was held last night to honor France's first couple. President Biden turned to history in his toast to French President Emmanuel Macron.
France was our first ally, first country to fly the American flag after our revolution.
Guests dine on butter-poached Maine lobster and orange chiffon cake with roasted pears. A former coal-fired power plant in New Jersey will be imploded today. Owner Starwood Energy will demolish the former Logan generating plant. Starwood is expected to announce plans for a new clean energy venture on the site. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Amy.
All right. Thank you, Michael. It's 6:10 on Wall Street. Time now for the sports report brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here's John Stashower.
All right, Amy. Jets fans perhaps a little unsure of who to root for last night. The Jets sit behind Buffalo in the AFC East, ahead of New England. The Bills won fairly easily in Foxborough, 24-10. Josh Allen had two first-half touchdown passes, and Buffalo is now 9-3. One of the losses was to the Jets. Rematch with them week from Sunday in Buffalo. Before that game, the Jets have what figures to be a tough one this Sunday in Minnesota. The Vikings are 9-2. And a big one for the Giants, home for Washington, who's won six of the last seven. Here's Brian Daboll on the Commanders.
They're challenging on both fronts. They don't give up a lot of points. They haven't given up a lot of points here in the last 8 weeks. They're 6-7, and I think they play a physical style football. Coach Rivera got a lot of respect for him and how he operates. They're physical on both sides of the ball.
The Giants' loss would be their third in a row, would drop them to last place in the NFC East. Devils hosted Nashville, New Jersey, down 2-0 second period, but up 3-2 in the third. 10 seconds from victory, the Predators tied the game. Nashville scored early in overtime to win 4-3, just the Devils' second loss in the last 5 weeks. Rangers, who won in Ottawa Wednesday, host the Senators tonight. Nets are home for Toronto. College hoops, Seton Hall went to Kansas, lost to the defending national champs, 91-65. UConn beat Oklahoma State. The Huskies are 9-0. At the World Cup, Christian Pulisic says his injured pelvis feeling better, hopes to play for the U.S. tomorrow against the Netherlands. Since 1990, the U.S. has played 19 World Cup games versus teams from Europe and has won only once. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Tim?
All right, thank you, John. Futures are lower. S&P down 5 points. Dow futures down 45. NASDAQ futures down 24 points. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, the yield at 3.5%. The 2-year yield at 4.18%. Much more still to come on Bloomberg Daybreak. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Sports Report was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information.